There's no such thing as a perfect piece of writing, just as there's no such thing as perfect despair. So said a writer I bumped into back when I was a university student. It wasn't until much later that I could grasp his full meaning, but I still found consolation in his words that there's no such thing as perfect writing. All the same, I despaired whenever I sat down to write. The scope of what I could handle was just too limited. I could write something about an elephant, let's say, but when it came to the elephant's trainer, I might draw a blank. That kind of thing. I was caught in this bind for 8 years. 8 years. A long time. If one operates on the principle that everything can be a learning experience, then of course aging needn't be so painful. That's what they tell us, anyway. From the age of 20 on, I did my best to live according to that philosophy. As a result, I was cheated and misunderstood, used and abused time and again. Yet it also brought me many strange experiences. All sorts of people told me their stories. Then they left, never to return, as if I were no more than a bridge they were clattering across. I, however, kept my lips zipped tight, and so the stories stayed with me until I entered this, the final year of my 20s. Now I think it's time to tell my story. Which doesn't mean, of course, that I have resolved even one of my problems, or that I will be somehow different when I finish. I may not have changed at all. In the end, writing is not a full step toward self-healing, just a tiny, very tentative move in that direction. All the same, writing honestly is very difficult. The more I try to be honest, the farther my words sink into darkness. Don't take this as an excuse. I promise you, I've told my story as best I can right now. There's nothing to add. Yet I can't help thinking, if all goes well, a time may come, years or even decades from now, when I will discover that myself has been salvaged and redeemed. Then the elephant will return to the veld, and I will tell the story of the world in words far more beautiful than these. I learned a lot of what I know about writing from Derek Hartfield. Almost everything, in fact. Unfortunately, as a writer, Hartfield was sterile in the full sense of the word. One has only to read some of his stuff to see that. His prose is mangled, his stories slapdash, his themes juvenile. Yet he was a fighter, as few are, a man who used words as weapons. In my opinion, when it comes to sheer combativeness, he should be ranked right up there with the giants of his day, Hemingway and Fitzgerald. Sadly, however, he could never fully grasp exactly what it was he was fighting against. In the final reckoning, I suppose, that's what being sterile is all about. Hartfield waged his fruitless battle for 8 years and 2 months, and then he died. In June 1938, on a sunny Sunday morning, he jumped off the Empire State Building, clutching a portrait of Adolf Hitler in his right hand and an open umbrella in his left. Few people noticed, though. He was as ignored in death as he had been in life. I came across a copy of Hartfield's long-out-of-print first book during my last summer vacation of junior high, a time marked in my memory by a terrible case of crotch rot. The uncle who gave me the book died in agony 3 years later of intestinal cancer. The last time I saw him, the doctors had hacked him up so badly that he bristled with plastic tubes ferrying fluids in and out of both ends of his body. He was shrunken, and his skin had turned reddish-brown, so that he resembled a crafty old monkey. I had three uncles in total. One died just outside Shanghai 2 days after the end of the Pacific War, when he stepped on a landmine he himself had laid. My sole surviving uncle works as a magician on the Japanese hot springs circuit.